We'll live in the light of a risen Lamb. Are you prepared? No more tears, no more pain. Oh man, if you're not prepared, if you are the ultimate loser, you're missing out. You need to get your ticket today, and the ticket is Jesus Christ. So let's go to Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I ask that You equip us this morning, that You'll take Your Word, Your spiritual scaffold, that You'll knock off the calluses of those who are called by Your name, of those who You have put Your Holy Spirit inside. You have guaranteed that we're Yours. And then, Heavenly Father, for those who do not know You, the ultimate losers, may You move in such a way that they'll not leave this building today. We're not guaranteed that we're going to get home. We're not guaranteed, Heavenly Father, that we will take our clothes off this evening. It may be cut off by the morgue. So, Heavenly Father, today is the day of salvation, and may You move the urgency of the hour. May we be prepared as Christ comes back for His Lamb. Thank You again, and move in a mighty way that we'll know we've been touched by the Holy God. Amen. First of all, let's just set the record straight. I come as a friend, not as a foe. So you don't need to hold on to your wallets and your purses. The second thing is that Dr. Terry was kind enough to share with me that the clock in the back is fast, so Dennis, ignore it. So if you see me take this off, you know what they say in Baptist churches, it does not mean a thing. So let's just get along. Okay, the title of the message, if you please, is The Biggest Losers. You see, the Bible is immense. Has immense references to losers. And we'll attempt this morning, there are two types of losers that I want you to look at, and I want you to determine which loser you are and do something about it. First of all is the ultimate loser, those who do not have Jesus Christ in their heart and life. And the second is the loser in the race of life. You see, as the Spirit moves, I trust that you will allow Him to show you, spiritually show you, which one you are. And all this came about by that show, The Biggest Losers. And on The Biggest Losers, they've got scales. And the Lord just laid it on my heart, Dennis, there are biggest losers in this world. People who are without Jesus Christ. But Dennis, you are, but there are also biggest losers in the race of life. Those who run unequipped. Those who run without the directions. Those who run and try to run this life, Heavenly Father, and they're called like You are, Dennis. They are called My children, and they run defeated, beat up lives, and they don't plug in. And ultimately, they're going to make it. They're not the ultimate loser, but they're the loser in what we know as the race of life. In Matthew 10:39, it presents us as we find in Matthew 10:39, He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life shall find it for My sake. What are we talking about? In Matthew 10:39, it presents us with two alternatives. Spare your life or sacrifice your life. Those are the only alternatives we find. There's no middle ground. Listen, Christian, there is no middle ground with Christ. Spare your life or save your life. If we protect our own interest, we'll be losers. How many Christians are out there protecting their own interest? How many Christians are out there, by George, just don't get in their way on Monday morning? Or you're going to ruin the rest of their week. If we protect our own interests, we'll be losers. If we die to self and live for His interest, we will be winners. Since spiritual conflict is inevitable in this world, why not die to self and let Christ win the battle for us and with us? And then in 1 Corinthians, so you may say, well, Dennis, I've been born again. I'm trying to die to self. I've asked Christ into my heart and life. That's important. But then what about those of us who are His children, but live defeated lives just carrying around that luggage? How many of us have prayed about sins in the past and we lay them on the altar of God and we walk away just to turn around and come back and get them? Let them haunt us, which really sucks the life, the spiritual life out of you. Therefore you're defeated. You're ultimate winners, but you're losing the race of life. So in 1 Corinthians 3:15, we find in this, if any man's work shall be burned. So Dennis, this is what we're saying. So Dennis, you say you've had a time and a place, you've asked Christ to save you. Yes, I have. Okay, well then what are your works? Well, you do works as His children. You do works meet for repentance, right? To show that we are His children. And so this presents us with another type of loser, not the ultimate loser, but the child of God who doesn't dig deep into the riches of God and loses daily battles living a defeated life. You must dig deep into the Scriptures and mine out the precious gold, silver, and jewels, and then build these truths into your lives. This is good. Listen to this. The mind of God. If you want to know the mind of God and the mind of His Savior, Jesus Christ, this is what you need. You need to take the Word of God and apply it, the mind of Christ. And you're going to lose the battles of life daily if you don't dig deep into the minds, the gold mines, the silver mines, the mineral mines of God, which are His Word. Because if Dennis claims to be His, all right, then I'm not the ultimate loser. But Dennis does not dig into the mind of Christ, which is the Word of God. And Dennis doesn't dig into the minds of God and builds his life on gold, pure silver, riches, gems of God that will last for all eternity, meaning what Dennis does for Christ. Then one day, sir or ma'am, you and I have got an appointment and we've got to stand before a holy God. And God's going to say, well, let's see how good you were, boy. You may have been a tax collector, but look what's going to burn. Hay, wood, stubble, it'll all go up in smoke. But if you dig into the minds of God, if you get self off the throne, if you dig deep into His Word and get the gold, the mineral, the ores that will last for all eternity, what you do for God, then He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What are you doing? Listen, God is interested in quality as well as quantity. And if we destroy, that's defile God's temple by using cheap material, by building on self, by being in love with this world, He will destroy us when he checks us out, when He sets fire to it. This past week was interesting. I had a conversation with a gentleman and we attended church and he called and said, I just want to buy coffee for you. Can I come by and just check up on you? I said, yeah. And we started talking and we just had a great fellowship there. Believe it or not, there in a government office, in your office, is the Bible and prayer goes on daily. When they stop that, this boy's going. So anyway, but it's interesting. Because he said, Dennis, and he just started sharing from his heart about his past. But don't worry about that, I said. Next time you see this ex-wife, you need to give her a big hug and say, thank you, I love you in the Lord, because I wouldn't be as pure and as solid and as firm on my foundation because you taught me how to dig deep into the Word of God. My goodness. He said, you think she'll slap me? I said, I don't know, but... You know, y'all, we need to quit beating up on ourselves and dig deep when we have problems and realize that we are His children. And listen, we are told in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what? No, you not? Dennis, what? Tomorrow morning when I start to make a foolish decision, I remind myself, what? Know you not that you're a temple of the Holy God who is in you, who you have from God, and you're going to act like that, Dennis? Do you see what I'm saying? Then Dennis is equipped to meet the challenges of life. Then he's not one of the losers in the daily battles. Listen to this also. Jim Elliot once said, he is no fool to give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You can't keep this life. Are you going to give it to Christ? You need to. Let me repeat that. He is no fool to give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. So our problem is that too many Christians are content to be listeners who gain a lot of knowledge, but who have never put their knowledge into practice. We also find in Philippians 3:8, knowledge, that word knowledge, is a personal relationship with Christ. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I have suffered the loss of all things, count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The biggest losers. Where do you find yourself on this pendulum today? Are you the ultimate loser? Do you need to have a time and a place, sir or ma'am, where you ask Christ to save you? Or are you constantly losing battles of life? You see, every day the devil is going to throw fiery darts at you. The devil knows your weakness. He knows my weakness. If we are not prepared, if we don't stay in His Word, if we don't dig into the mind of Christ and the minds of God, which is the Bible, we are going to get defeated. And we are going to struggle through life. And that's not what God wants of His children. He told you, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to come back for you. I never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to build you. But in the meantime, Dennis, you need to dig into my mind, and you need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to put on those gospels, those sandals of peace. How are you doing? How am I doing with the gospel of Jesus Christ? You see, Christianity is Christ. Salvation is knowing Him in a personal way. But we find ourselves, let's just cut it to the bone. We find ourselves today undisciplined, self-centered, self-motivated, self-indulgent, and we need to learn to quit feeding the flesh and feed, nurture the Spirit, which leads me to ask you, are you born again? You see, this Biggest Losers, the leading reality NBC's hit series, is an unscripted, life-altering reality series which gathers contestants from across the country to face real-life temptations, and while being provided weight loss skills and resources in an effort to help them transform their bodies, health, and ultimately their lives. The series has become a worldwide hit, airing in 90 countries and produced throughout 25. It's produced a New York Times best-selling book series with 5 titles currently. But our problem, y'all, our problem, and in reference to that, to the quote original Big Losers, don't forget in 1 Timothy 4:8, bodily exercise profiteth little. Godliness is profitable for all things. That's as far as your physical body. But the Big Loser, the Biggest Loser, it's like the Lord just dropped this brick on me. I just could not get away from it. And so all of this was evolved in a trust that God's using His scaffold to show you in the race of life, are you a big loser? Are you an ultimate loser? And neither one of us have to be on either scale. We should be victorious in Christ. We should be His children. That's the way He wants us to live. But first let me ask you, this culture, this society that we are in, we need to quit being entertained by these stinking reality shows, which are the big hits of today's society, and you and I need to start being engaged in the reality of life. We need to quit being entertained. I'm sick of these reality shows. But we need to engage in the reality. What's the reality of life? The reality of life is that we are all been born once, and we're all going to die once. But you have a choice. You can be born twice and die once. You can be born once and die twice. That's a reality. That should hit you right square in the face. Sir or ma'am, have you had a time and a place where you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart and life to save you? See, Christ tells us you must be born again. Have you been born again? The reality is that we need to live our lives as though there is one God, a real heaven and a real hell. We need to live our lives as people who know that one day we'll be held accountable. We need to live our lives as a loved people whose Creator sent His Son in love to redeem His people. We need to engage in reality. And reality is that, sir or ma'am, one day you and I have an appointment with the Holy God. And one day I thought of this yesterday. All these people on cell phones, my goodness, they're so important. Cell phone here, cell phone there. Don't beep your horn at the when the light turns green. They've got to finish down, then they take off. And I thought yesterday, oh my goodness, bless your heart. Do you know, sir? And I would have told him if I could have got my hands around his neck. Not really, but. But I thought this, sir. Do you know that one day you have got to give an account of every word. Sir or ma'am, do you know that one day you have got to give an account of every word? So first, allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life. And have you had a time and a place? Because we are told in the Scripture, you have a choice to be born once and die twice, or to be born twice and die once. You see, we have all been born of the water. We're all here. So you've been born once. But we also find in John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Have you had a time and a place where you got on your knees, or you didn't get on your knees, but you acknowledged to a holy God that you were a sinner, there's nothing you can do, and you asked Christ into your heart and life to save you? That is being born again. And it's so neat because God will put that Holy Spirit inside of you. And that Spirit stays with you. And that Spirit conviction. I don't know about you, but sometimes the Spirit and I have words. But I love the Spirit because He keeps me on track. Or else, we've all been born of the water. We're all going to die if the rapture doesn't come. So we all have to acknowledge that's our second death. However, in Revelation 20:14, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. That's when you will be eternally without God, separated from God. Have you, sir or ma'am, chosen to be born twice to die once? Are you going to be born once and die twice? That's the ultimate loser. If you have never had a time and a place where you ask Christ into your heart and life to save you, don't leave today without doing so. And then the loser, and you say, how do I do that? We'll have a prayer at the end of the service. And you simply pray and ask Christ into your heart and life to save you. And come down, and someone will counsel with you and show you Scripture. It's not what the Baptists say. It's not what the Methodists say. It's what God says in the minds of God, in the goal of God. That's what salvation is. But then the losers in the race of life, that stands for us. Just as Americans are physically out of shape, we, the body of Christ, the 21st century Church of Christ, are terribly out of shape. And you know, that scale that show has. And I thought, you know what? God forgive us, because we are the bride of Christ and we are so out of shape. We are so beat up. We are so exhausted because we're trying in our own righteousness, and Christ still loves us. He's still coming back for us. But on that scale, if we put all the people, all the unsaved on one side, and we put the Church of Christ on the other side, today, with the condition of the 21st century Church of Christ, I'm afraid that the big losers, the ultimate losers, would win this test. Because they're simply doing what they're supposed to do. They're simply acting like lost people. But yet we act like lost people, and we're losing the race of life. We're not losing the ultimate battle, but we're losing the race of life. So first, are you the ultimate loser? And then, what are you doing to enhance the body of Christ? We're also told that the real cost of overweight in America is hard not to look at. It's $117 billion. That does not include $50 billion for additional diet follow-up. We spend more time and money on keeping our youth, and this is sad. We spend more time and money on keeping our youth fit in schools, spending local, that's county, state, and federal revenue, in a culture where more information is available through the internet, but also in a culture and a time where there are more suicide contributors in teenage and young adults than any other civilization has ever known. Don't we have something backwards? Don't we have something backwards? Well, then let's look at this. Let's quickly look. They say that there are five psychological factors that contribute to long-term weight loss and success, spiritual success. The first one is to stay connected to personal goals. What is your intention? To stay on course, you must first know what the course is and what the finish line looks like. And the finish line for you and I is to be in the presence of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who loves us and died for us. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that that they who run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Then in Galatians 5:7, run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? And if you're running a race, wouldn't you want to know how far you had to run? The course, the map, how to train, what equipment is required, and is it important that your goals be realistic, clear, and measurable? Today's youth, the reason we have such a suicide rate is that today's youth does not have a map. They don't have a road map. They don't have a direction. They don't have anyone to mentor them. Isn't that sad? So, running the race of life, we have all these young people who need to hear the gospel, who need to look at men such as myself in business offices and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and know and see the roadmap, and they are lost. They are running a race just to death. But we as a culture, it seems as though that's the direction we're going. We as Christians seem to be more in love with the world than with the Savior of the world. So therefore, the people who are on this pendulum of the scale, who are the unsaved, see us acting like we are the unsaved, but we're saying we're going to glory. And everyone's just kind of scratching their head saying, what's all this about? When you and I should stay connected to our personal goal. Our personal goal is to reach our glory. Our personal goal, as Miss Dennis saying, is a land of no more sorrows, a land of no more death. Our personal goal is to be used of Him in this walk of life. How are you doing on your personal goals? Are they attainable? Are they realistic? Don't forget the personal goals. Let me ask you too. In this, the Biggest Loser, also, they say 30 minutes a day makes all the difference. And I don't want to show of hands, but how many of you spend a quality 30 minutes a day with your Lord and Savior? Is your goal attainable? Do you know which direction you're going? Do you know where you're headed? Do you have a direction? As the first one, it says, stay connected to your personal goals. The second one was create and expand support. If you're in a dry, barren desert land, you can't grow. The Biggest Losers developed and nurtured, rechanged their social network. Our youth obviously are in a dry and barren land because they don't know where they're going and they don't have a roadmap and they're killing themselves. But you and I have a fertile land. You and I have mines of riches and gold. You and I know where we're headed. We're headed to glory. So we need to get plugged in and become what Christ wants us to become and be those people leading the way to Jesus Christ. And then the gray thinking. Most of us think in black and white. This is the third of the psychological, the gray thinking. Most of us think in black and white. I am good or I am bad. Successful Biggest Losers don't interpret a small slip up as a failure. They get back on the horse right away. How many Christians, first of all, spend a lifetime debating what they think is gray instead of measuring it with God's standards? Y'all, it's either holy or unholy. We're either saved or we're unsaved. We're either saints or we're ain'ts. There's no gray area. But it seems as though the 21st century church in America, especially the church in America today, they want to take this little gray thing that, oh, it's just really not spelled out in the Bible, and they want to debate over it, and they just want to carry on and on a lifetime of it. And they're losing it. They're losing the battle because, you know why? Because the gray areas that you and I have a problem with are the gray areas that you really want God's approval on, and you should stay away from it. If it's not holy, it's unholy. If it's not God's way, it's the wrong way. And you're either a saint or you're an ain't, so quit trying to ride the fence. We can't do it. We can't do it. So the gray areas and these in this profile of the psychological needs to become the Biggest Loser, there are no gray areas. They change their social network. They stay, and for us, spiritually speaking, we need to use the same five skills. We need to stay plugged in, fertile ground with brothers and sisters in Christ who will identify the gray areas in my life and say, Dennis, that's unholy. We can't. And then when you and I fall off the horse, when they fall off the horse in the Biggest Loser, they get right back on. Brother Terry, I fell off the horse. Help me on. Keep me from falling off again. But no, you and I just want to play games with God. Y'all, this is not a game. This is real life, and there's a real hell, and there's a real fire, but there's also a Savior who loves you, who has your name written in the palm of His hand, who wants to use the prayers you send up to bless you one day. So the great thinking, and then utilize resources. If I told you you were about to go on the longest journey of a lifetime, you'd want to pack your bags and make sure you had enough clothes, water, food, resources, or anything that contributes to your success and well-being. The Biggest Losers check their resources. Spiritually speaking, we are without excuse. We have all the resources. We have Jesus Christ. Where He equips, where He calls, He'll equip. He is all that you need. He has given you what you need. If you're here today and you haven't asked Christ to save you, don't leave without asking Christ to save you. And then He's going to put this Holy Spirit, this Comforter inside of you. And He's going to give you that Comforter to convict you when you do wrong. And then He's going to give you the road map. And He's going to tell you the direction you're going. And He's going to tell you every day what you need to do, Dennis. Every day, Dennis, if you're willing, if Dennis is willing, every day, Dennis will spend time with the Savior and He will equip Dennis. How many of you pray on the spiritual armor? Your shoes of peace and your gird your loins of truth and shoes of peace and breastplate of righteousness. Shield of faith. That shield of faith is so important to ward off the fiery darts of the devil because he's going to shoot at you. And the helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit, which is His Word. And if you don't, then you're going to be one of the losers going through life. Ultimately, you'll be a winner, but you will be a loser on the way. And then verify problems. The fifth and the final is verify problems. What is getting in the way? And a lot of people, they say we're the biggest losers when there's a hurdle in the road where there's something psychological that they just can't get over, they have to deal with it. They can't keep going around it. What issues in your life do you have to deal with? What issues in your life do you need to repent this morning, perhaps, and tell God that you're tired of that? What issues? Unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, complaining, critical spirit? Just not in love with Jesus? Go back to Galatians 5:19 through 21 and read the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 through 23. But also, you can identify with the unsaved, the unholiness in the previous chapters in Galatians 5:19 through 21. So, I said all that to say, don't leave today as the biggest loser. And if you are like me and you've had a time and a place, you've asked Christ to save you, then we need to get on the winning team. Then we need to charge into every day equipped, every day challenging and asking God, give me someone to witness to today. And there's another liken and another parallel with the biggest losers that I really like. And carbohydrates. These are calories. They're good, yet they're bad for you. You understand what I'm saying? And the carbohydrates are the carnality in your life and mine. The carnality where we eat, Dennis, all this gray area has come up. And, Dennis, you know you'd really like to do that. So we're just going to grab a carbohydrate here, which is carnality, which is going to hinder my spiritual growth. And then the carnality, the carbohydrates, spiritual carbohydrates, also have sugar in them. And the sugars that we, spiritually speaking of, we're talking about self-indulgence, self-interest, self. And when self gets in the way, God can't do anything with us. When self is on the throne, it feeds the lust of the mind and weakens, even destroys the spiritual health, which we need so badly to stay in shape with the Father's will for us. But then the good news is the protein. They say that these guys, and if you read behind these weightlifters, and I'm trying to get my sons into weightlifting and don't tell them, but I try. When they're not there, I go up and lift weights thinking, how do they do it? And I want them to know that Daddy's out of breath, you know, but so when they're not looking, I'm trying to get equipped. I'm trying to prepare myself. But they say that the protein that these big, robust weightlifters, that the protein is the foundation, the structure, the bone, the muscle tone of your life and mine. So how does protein characterize with what we're talking about, your prayer life? Your prayer life. Your prayer life is the protein. Don't leave home without it. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Pray about everything. You don't want to live. You don't want to go through life as His child, as a loser on the race of life. We cannot afford it. So how are you spiritually in your walk, in relationship with Christ? Are you spiritually a biggest loser because you play games as a Christian and child of God by not reading the book, the guide, the Bible? Are your goals realistic, clear, and measurable? Do you daily seek Him at least 30 minutes a day? Are you spiritually out of shape because you won't deal with sin as God requires? When we get back on, when we identify that sin, Dr. Terry, get back on, repent, and leave the sin alone. Don't lay it on the altar, and when no one's looking, come back and grab it. Y'all, we can't live victorious lives like that. So let me ask you in closing. Do you spiritually equip or exercise preparing yourself daily for the battle out there? Because every day there's a spiritual battle waiting for you and for you and for me. Every day you can't play games. Do you understand that this race of life is real? And do you understand that there's a real heaven and a real hell? And that one day Dennis will have to stand before God on Dennis's own accord. And he's going to say, let's see what you did, you old redneck tax collector. And he's going to put a fire to Dennis's life. And if Dennis didn't build on the gold and the eternal things that God says, it's all going to go up on smoke. Where do you stand? Where do you stand this morning? With every head bowed. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity. I thank You, and may You move in such a way that these sweet people will realize that this is not a game, that this is about eternity, that this is about the next phase of life, Heavenly Father, that this is real, that we're on our way, that Heavenly Father, we've got the road map, but there are so many people without a road map. This morning, Heavenly Father, if there's one here who is nervous, who can't really say that they've had a time and a place, will you, if you're out there, will you just pray after me? Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I cannot save myself. And Heavenly Father, the best way I know how, this moment, this time, ask Christ to come into my heart and life and save me and empower me. And then, Heavenly Father, for those of us who claim You, for those of us who have prayed that prayer, for those of us who have results that we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit in us, Heavenly Father, equip us and work in us in such a way that, Heavenly Father, we can't change this world and we cannot change the United States, but we can change one person at a time by sharing with them the sweet gospel of Jesus Christ. So Heavenly Father, equip us this hour. May decisions be made. May people confess, Heavenly Father, if they need confession. May people accept. Those of us who are Your children, Heavenly Father, will You move in such a way that we'll not be the same people when we leave as when we came in this morning. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.